from National City, California. Rosie and the Originals on the 50s on 5, keeping that big beat jive alive. Coming your way in just about 2.5 minutes from now, the great Pookie Hudson joins me of the Spaniels. He's up in the satellite. He just took off his rocket pack. He just flew up here 23,000 miles above the surface of the Earth. He'll be joining us right after this. But let's kick this off with the Spaniels' first hit record on VJ Records. We'll get the story behind the story from Pookie himself, but listen to Pookie sing first.
Baby, I need you, need you. Let your daddy know how you were. Baby, baby.
The Spaniels in the 50s on 5, featuring the lead vocals of the great Pookie Hudson, who joins me live up here in the satellite right now. Pookie, thank you so much for coming up.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
I hope the ride up was nice and smooth for you.
Yes, it was.
Good. Excellent, man. I just want to tell you that America loves you, Pookie, and we get lots of requests for your music.
I sure appreciate that.
And we were really, really rooting for you while you were sick, and we're so happy that you're well.
Yeah, I am too. But, you know, I really thank all those people who prayed, who sent me donations, who sent their love, who sent their prayers. I think it had a whole lot to do with me getting well. I really appreciate it.
That's great. And you're back on stage, and you're performing again, and you'll be performing tomorrow night and Saturday night up in Foxwoods in Connecticut.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the show, I believe, starts at 9?
Right. Starts at 9 o'clock.
And you're on the bill with, Arlene is still Queen Smith of mm-hmm. the Chantels.
Okay.
And Jimmy Clanton's on the bill with you.
I understand. Yeah, I
mean. And Harvey Fuqua.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, Harvey doesn't come out of the woodwork all that often.
No, you don't. No, you don't. But
he's coming up for this
it's
one.
Good, it's good to see him, you know.
Yeah. Great.
Very good friend of mine.
How many songs do you think you'll be doing tomorrow night?
I'm sure between 5 and 6, I think. You know? Mm-hmm. I think between 5 and 6.
And how many of the original Spaniels will be joining you tomorrow night on stage?
Well, it'll be 3 of us all together. As I was telling you, that it's 4 of us that are still around, but Ernest Warren happens to be a preacher, so he has stopped singing the music altogether. So it's just Willis C. Jackson, Opal Corden, and myself who are originals.
So, but Ernie is on stage with you, right?
No.
No, he doesn't even go. He doesn't
go. He doesn't even go on the joint.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a casino, so I guess he wouldn't want to. Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Well, he don't go nowhere that this music is played. We sing. You know, he just felt that the Lord is blessing him to do something else, and he don't think this is a part of it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's his right, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. We just played Baby, It's You, the first hit for the Spaniels, and that piano line has been ripped off a couple times, most notably in the song I Laughed by the Jesters. Did that bother you at the time when you heard the Jesters play that piano line and then that drum kicks in?
Tell you the truth, I don't think I've heard a song by the Jesters, but really, I mean, I can't complain because we took the piano land from people saying I'm Gone.
The song I'm Gone?
Yeah.
Shirley and Lee.
Shirley and Lee. We took the lick from them.
Everything goes around, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's cyclical.
Yeah.
Oh, now
we just made it more pronounced than they did. That's
right. And when you first started singing with the guys, it was part of a high school talent show, right?
Yeah, well, I've been singing since I was 10, 11 years old, you know, churches and different things. And then there's a gentleman who's singing with us now, Billy Shelton. He and I, another fellow named Calvin Foster, we hooked up when we were 14, and we had a group called 4B, or the 3Bs at that particular time. And at 14, we were singing, the the harmonies, the gospels, and we were doing the blues, and we had a pretty nice little group at that time.
You've been so influential to singers that have come after you. I'm really interested to know, as a kid, before you actually started singing, what were you listening to? What influenced you? Was it vocal group stuff from the
40s? Oh, yeah. It was the vocal group stuff.
Like the Mills Brothers and Ink Spots?
Well, I liked the Mills Brothers and, of course, the Ink Spots. But my favorite was Billy Williams and the Charioteers. Oh, you know,
what a voice.
Yeah, they were more of an influence to me than most of them. You know. It's a funny thing. When I was a kid, I was born in Des Moines, Iowa, so a lot of my family's in Iowa, so I would spend the summers in Davenport and Cedar Rapids. And I had an aunt, so when the Mills Brothers and King Cole and all the different artists would come through, they would come to her house, you know. And I was able to see them at a young age, and I was 9, 10 years old.
Were meeting Nat King Cole at 9 or 10 years old?
Yeah, I was meeting these people then, you know.
That's something else. Mm-hmm. In Des Moines?
In Des Moines. No, in Davenport.
Davenport, okay. Yeah. Wow.
And I've been fortunate to have my family, like Josephine Baker and Fats Waller, cousins, you know, in my family. You know.
So I didn't know that.
They had a musical
heritage.
Heritage, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, fantastic. Okay, so you were singing before you got together with the guys and did the talent show. But the talent show always gets talked about because I guess you guys called yourselves Pookie Hudson and the Hudson Airs.
Yeah, well, that happened because really what happened was Billy Shelton and Calvin graduated the year before I did, so that left me alone. And I was singing shows by myself. And Gerald, who was the bass singer, and Willis C. approached me at my locker around Christmas for a Christmas talent show and said, could they sing with me? And I really didn't want to. You know, I was kind of getting used to singing alone. So on the way backstage, we picked up Ernest Warren, and we sang I Will Wait by the Four Buddies. And we thought it sounded pretty good, so we took it to the teacher, and she said, okay, you know, we'll do it on the show. And from that time on, you know, it was Pookie Hudson and Hudson Airs until we changed it to the Spaniel.
And the story that, you know, always gets told about why you chose the Spaniels was that you didn't want to join the bird groups. Is that true?
Well, that was the first thing. You know, the second thing was that we made the mistake and asked our bass singer's wife, he had gotten married, how do we sound in rehearsal one time? And she said, you sound like a bunch of dogs. So our next thought was to find a dog name, and that's how we narrowed it down to the Spaniels.
How old was, this is Gerald you're talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How old was Gerald that he was getting married?
He was 18. Oh, you know, Gerald was.
That's, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. He tying himself down young. That's all
right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was the first one to go.
All right. So you got the name. You're now the Spaniels. You're no longer Pookie Hudson, the Hudson Airs. And the way the story goes that I hear is that you were, hanging around the record shop owned by the Brackens.
Yeah, really how that happened was, truthfully, Vivian and
James
had been looking to form a record company
for
a couple of years. And, in fact, my group, the 4Bs, we were the first one to go audition for them. And they said we sounded too much like the groups that were around. And they
like the Orioles?
Really wasn't
things,
looking for... Well, we were into more so, like I was saying, the Charioteers and those type of groups. And they thought we sounded too smooth, and so they didn't want that group. And so when we would after Billy and Calvin left, and we formed Pookie Hudson Hudson Airs, they got a little more interested in doing it because she owned a record shop. Plus, she was the DJ, a rhythm and blues DJ, and Gary, and. There's a young lady who worked in the shop. She heard him talking. She said, why don't you come over and listen to this group at the school, you know. And they came over and they liked what they heard. So they brought us down and we talked. And we ended up rehearsing in a garage. This is even before they had a company. We was rehearsing. They didn't even have a name, truthfully. We were rehearsing in a garage. And I mean, they treated us like we were their children. You know, they took care of us and... next thing I know, we were recording, and the rest of it was history.
As they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so was Baby It's You recorded in the garage?
No, Baby It's You was recorded over in Chicago, Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because it's got such a gritty feel to it. Like that, that piano is, it doesn't sound like a finely tuned piano. It sounds like a piano that's a little off.
No, it was a tuned piano. Great studio, Universal
Can you do you remember that first session?
Yeah, I remember the first session.
How many songs did you guys cut the first time out?
We did four. We did that. We did Since I Fell for You. We did Bounce.
And, which was the original flip side.
Yeah, Bounce and You Don't Move Me.
Were you guys like blown away by a recording studio? I mean, you had been singing, you know, in halls and
not really.
No,
you had a band over here. You had us over here. You had a microphone for the band. You had a microphone for the group. We all had to sing in the two mic, and singing the one mic, and then the band had to play in the other mic. You know, it wasn't really nothing fantastic. Just that how it came out was good.
But did you have to? Test it a couple of times because to get
we were fortunate we might have cut it two or three times, you know, but basically we were a one cut group. We could just go in and do it one time and we'd be through it, you know?
Oh, professionalism.
We were lucky, you know. Yeah. Yeah, lucky, but it was good, you know, at that time.
Do you remember how you felt when you first saw I mean, was that the first VJ record? It wasn't VJ 1001?
Yeah, that was the first record played. Yeah, mm-hmm. First record released. Because they had released it to Chance first, and then Chance went bankrupt, so they took it back.
That must have been so amazing to see a record with your name on it.
You know, it was we were young, dumb. We didn't know. You know, we enjoyed it because it was being played over the air. You know, in fact, the day we recorded one night, the next day Vivian was playing on her radio
show.
On her record show. I mean, on her radio show. So, yeah, it came out wonderful.
Wow. Do you have any of those old records to this day? No.
You know, it never dawned on us in our life that those records were worth a dime a day.
Because Pookie, I gotta tell you, I got this addiction. It's to 78s.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my listeners all the time, it's bad. I got to find a copy of Baby It's You on VJ or on Chance. Oh, God, on Chance, that must be worth something.
Could be. I don't think it is. I have a friend up in Staten Island. She got a jukebox, but she has nothing but 78s on it.
Mm.
I mean, she sends as far as Europe.
To get them nowadays,
to get her 78s on
it. Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. That's great, man. She better watch it, though. Sometimes those things come broken.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the song that you guys will forever be remembered for is, of course, Good Night, Sweetheart, Good Night. And that was at your second session, was it?
Yeah, that was at our second session. We did that, The Bells Ring Out. We did a couple more. I forgot what it was. We did a couple more.
Must have been a different feeling at that session because you'd already had a hit record. I mean, you guys weren't just kids in the studio anymore. You were now kids with a hit record. Baby, It's You.
Yeah. Well, at that time, it was a regional hit. It wasn't as far as we knew, it wasn't a national thing at that time. You know, it seemed to come later for Baby It's You, but it was a regional hit, and it kept us a little work in that area, in Chicago area, at that time.
So the style of Good Night, Sweetheart, Good Night, with Gerald doing probably the most famous, Blue Moon by the Marcells, that would definitely be a very famous bass line, but probably the most famous bass singing line would have to be the da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's through the decades, it keeps getting, you know, reinvented.
Yeah.
Did he invent that himself?
Yeah. It just came off the top of his head, you know. That's what we were doing. In fact, if you notice most of his songs, he somehow found a way to put that in there.
All right, let's hear it right now. It was released in early 1954, but you guys cut it in 1953.
Right.
And it's Good Night, Sweetheart, Good Night, joined by Pookie Hudson of the Spaniels, who is playing tomorrow with the group up in Connecticut at Foxwoods. The show starts at 9 p.m. if you want to see Pookie in person. And we are going to be taking your call soon if you've always wanted to talk to Pookie. I know there's questions I've always wanted to ask him, and I'm lucky enough to get this opportunity to sit right across the table in the satellite from him. But if you would like to talk to Pookie, get ready. I'll tell you when to call, and we'll put you on the air live with the great Pookie Hudson.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart.
Spaniels in the 50s on 5. I'm joined by the Spaniel, Pookie Hudson. Pookie, how you doing?
So far, so good. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
We have a question now that was emailed in. A Night Prowler emailed this in. I want to read it to you. It comes from Barry out in San Diego. Barry's originally from the Pittsburgh area, so he was exposed to a lot of great music back in the 50s Porky Chedwick was playing and,
right.
and those great DJs out of Pittsburgh. And he says, would you please tell Pookie that we are so glad that he's feeling better and back on the stage singing? And, of course, goes for everybody. And would you please ask him how he feels about being just as popular 50 years after starting out? How do you feel about that?
Oh, you know, hey, all I can do is thank the Lord for longevity and to be, for the music to kind of turn around and come back and people recognize that we try to entertain and that we pray that, you know, you enjoy our music and those that do like it, I'm very happy and very satisfied that it has come around to this.
All right. And he wants to know what your favorite song is.
My favorite song.
You have a favorite? I know there's so many.
Probably Peace of Mind, I would think.
What about a favorite song that you didn't do? If there was one song you could have written, what song would that have been? What song do you think was just great that somebody else wrote?
I like You Light Up My Life. I really did like this song.
The Debbie Boone song?
Yeah.
From the 70s?
I thought it was a hell of a song.
Oh, man. Okay.
Indeed.
All right. Well, there's the answer to your question, Barry. If you'd like to email in a request, it's mattthecat@xmradio.com. You can email in a question for Pookie or a request for a Spaniel song. We're going to be opening up the phone line soon so you can talk to Pookie directly. But I want to ask about, as time went on, you kept recording more and more singles with VJ. And let's talk about Everybody's Laughing, because that's... I really like the way that song sounds. And I don't think the master of that song exists, because it seems like every time I hear it these days, it sounds like it's coming off of a record. So I think maybe they got rid of they accidentally erased the masters or something.
I know, VJ record was brought by the Fritzes, of my understanding. And if you know who the Fritzes are, they're the one on the Hyde Regency and things. And they brought VJ, my understanding was a toy for their son, but he messed it up, so they took it out of his hand and put it in somebody else's hand. So,
For their son.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But instead of him keeping true to the music, my understanding, he was trying to bring in a lot of the rock groups and things.
Mm-hmm.
And the family didn't want that, so
right.
They took it back out of his hand and they put it in some other people's hand. And they're on top of it, you know. They've been paying us, and they try to, you know, market our music and things. They've done a very good job. So like I say, you know, I feel very, you know, very good about that.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, when you guys were signed to VJ, I guess Jimmy Reed was the other guy that was right there from the beginning.
Yeah.
Did you hang out with him back in the day?
Oh yeah, knew Jimmy very well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some insight into what Jimmy was all about? Not too much, as you know, he's one of those guys that there's not that much known about him.
Well, Jimmy was a heck of a blues artist, and he used to play in Gary at these bars. And Jimmy was a one-man band. You know, Jimmy played the guitar, harmonica, the drums, and he sang, and he did it all at one time. He wrote all, him and his wife wrote most of the stuff that he sang, and he was just one heck blues artist, and I don't really think he got his dues, you know, truthfully.
So unique, too, his guitar playing, his harp playing,
right.
His singing. I mean, he was unique all the way around.
Yeah,
he didn't sound like anybody.
No, he didn't. you heard Jimmy, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we were just talking about Everybody's Laughing just a few minutes ago, and Tony in New York emailed me in a question about that song. He says that Gerald, who was the bass singer on Goodnight Sweetheart, Goodnight,
right.
and,
mm-hmm.
and all the stuff, wasn't. He says he wasn't present on Everybody's Laughing.
Well, Gerald had a little run of bad luck at that particular time. Gerald had his wife and another young lady pregnant, and he was having a baby about the same time. And it just so happened the other young lady's mother was a priesthood commitment, so she did everything she could to get Gerald put in jail, which she finally did for about 6 months. So those 6 months of that period, we had a gentleman, we called him Doc. His name was Lester. And Lester came in, and he did Everyone's Laughing, and I Lost You, and the more he did.
Where'd Lester come from?
From Gary. Gary.
He was just a local guy.
Yeah, we all come from Gary, yeah. He was singing in a little group around, you know, around town, and we picked him up from that group. You know.
And as soon as Gerald got out of jail, he rejoined the group?
Yeah, well, as soon as he came out of jail, that was the understanding. When Gerald got out, he'd get his job back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Lester knew that from the beginning.
You're right.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Okay, let's hear Everybody's Laughing without Gerald. And we got the story behind the story from Pookie himself. Pookie Hudson joining me live in the satellite. I'm at the Cat. This is Pookie Doo-Wop Thursday on the Night Prowl Show.
Boom, 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 boom.
You said you